Good morning and welcome to Railway Street on Sunday, the 21st of June. Just a few announcements before we begin. Firstly, there will be a Kirk Session meeting tomorrow night at 7:30. The link will be sent to you tomorrow morning from Michael. And secondly, it would be great, we would love you to join us for coffee after the service at 11:45 today. Just like last week, we will meet together over Zoom for some fellowship. So after the service, go and make some coffee and then join us together. The link will hopefully be below me in the video or else sent out to you on your email. So we would love you to join us. Today, we are celebrating Youth Sunday. Usually this service would involve a lot of participation. It would give us an opportunity to celebrate some of the youth and children's ministries and pray for those ministries. Some of you will be glad that this morning you won't be forced into singing and doing the actions of "Our God is a Great Big God." Others of you will be devastated. Others will be devastated that they won't be able to join us for the barbecue that we usually hold after the service. All of us, though, I'm sure, are disappointed that this morning we can't be meeting together in the same building to worship God. Isn't it brilliant, though, that although we can't be together in this building, we still remain the church? And while we can't do a barbecue over technology or make the back rows do the actions to those songs, we can still worship together as the church united. We can still unite together to worship God. And what better way to do that this morning than by joining with each other and saying the words to the Apostles' Creed, to remind ourselves of who we are as the church and who we worship as we gather. So let's join together with some of the young people and say the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead.
On the third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father.
And he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, Hebrews 13:8 tells us that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have been, you are, and you always will be God. Psalm 139 verse 5 says that you walk before us and you go behind us, hemming us in. 1 John 4 verse 4 reminds us that you are greater than anyone else or anything else that comes against us. And yet often, especially in these last few weeks, some of our thoughts have drifted. We question the reality and truth of verses like this. Sometimes we wonder where you are in the midst of the uncertainty. If you really are greater than all that comes against us. Sometimes we felt ourselves wonder if you exist at all. Sometimes we've even blamed you or questioned your goodness towards us, questioned your power, forgotten your goodness and grace. And yet you have not changed since the cross. You have not changed since the resurrection, and you sit on your throne in heaven. You do not change. You still lavish grace and goodness on us. And as James reminded us just a few weeks ago, every good and perfect gift is from you. It's not you that has changed, it is us. It is our desires, our mindsets, attitudes, priorities, and idols. We have let fear quash your hope. We have let uncertainty rise and take the place of your peace. We have let misery replace your joy. We have moved you aside. And so just as you do not change, neither does your grace or goodness towards us. You, Lord, have forgiven us, cleansed us of sin, and are already preparing a place for us in your eternal kingdom. You have already mapped out your plan. You have always been in control. You go before us and behind us, hemming us in. And we worship you today knowing that in the midst of uncertainty, we are confident of your peace. In the midst of our downheartedness, we are confident in your joy. In the midst of despair, we are confident of your hope. Open our hearts today to the reality of that hope, the reality of that joy, and the reality of that peace. Speak to us afresh today as we worship you. Amen. We're going to join together in praise now. You'll find a YouTube link just below the video to a song that reminds us of that living hope that we have. So click on it and let's praise God together by singing Living Hope.
Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 9, verses 56 to 62. Then he and his disciples went to another village. As they were walking along a road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God."
Let me start by telling you a story. It's a story about Bert. Bert is a normal 15-year-old teenager. He's not in the popular group in school, but at the same time, he's not unpopular. He has friends. He has good friends. He's okay in school. He's quite funny. He's okay at sport, even though sometimes he has to sit on the bench. He gets invited to all the parties that everyone else is invited to. And while he's liked and gets on well with the really popular group, he's still not really part of the really popular group. And one Tuesday, the rumour going round at lunchtime is that Jenny, she is the most popular girl in school, she's having a party this weekend. It's the place to be if you were cool. But it was only going to be a small gathering of people. It wasn't going to be the whole year. And so you knew you were popular if you were invited. But just after school that day, Bert's friend Harry was just a normal friend of Bert. He was in his friendship group. He'd grown up with him. He said to Bert, "Bert, do you want to come round to my house on Saturday for a Chinese? We'll put a movie on. We'll get some Chinese." And Bert thought for a minute, if I say yes to Harry now, well, it means that I can't go to the party. I'm writing that off. But at the same time, I haven't actually been invited to the party yet. So it's quite a difficult decision. And so he responds to Harry, "I'll see." Next day, still no invite to Jenny's party, and still no answer for Harry. And now Bert's mum is saying, "Bert, we've been invited to your cousin's house for dinner on Saturday. Do you want to come?" "Well, no, I can't go," said Harry. "I'm busy." "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm not sure yet." Thursday and Friday go by as well, and still no invite to Jenny's party. "I'm still not sure, Harry." Saturday comes at 6 o'clock. Still no text from Jenny inviting him to the party. Mum and Dad have already left for the cousin's house, and he thinks to himself, "Well, I suppose I better text Harry now. See what time he wants me over." But it turns out that Harry has already decided that because Bert didn't seem interested, he would just go out for dinner with his parents. And so Bert is left alone on a Saturday night all on his own because his fear of missing out has meant that he's missed out. I wonder how many of us can relate to Bert. Most of us probably can because we all have the same problem as Bert. We have what is now commonly known as FOMO, fear of missing out. Here's how FOMO is described. It's an anxiety that an exciting or interesting event may currently be happening elsewhere. And the reality is that FOMO, fear of missing out, is something that we all suffer from. We all have a fear of missing out. We all have at some point had the fear that there's something else better going on right now than where we are. So often, just like Bert, though, we lose out because of our fear of missing out. We're always distracted by the thought of something else could be happening right now. And so maybe we put things off, or maybe we respond like Bert and say, we'll see until we're sure that there's nothing better somewhere else. In the story that we read earlier, that Rachel read for us, it's clear that FOMO isn't something that is new to us in the 21st century. It's something that has troubled people for millennia, and something that Jesus in this passage has something to say about. In the passage that we read, Jesus gives us his thoughts on FOMO. And those thoughts are so important for us as his disciples today. Here's what the passage tells us. The passage tells us that Jesus doesn't want disciples with FOMO. He wants disciples that follow. Jesus doesn't want disciples that have a fear of missing out on something else. He doesn't want disciples that follow him when it suits, but are always going to be distracted on what else is going on around them. He doesn't want disciples that say, "I'll see." He wants disciples that follow. And actually, he goes even further and says, if you follow me, you are going to miss out. You are going to miss out, but believe me, what you will gain is so much more than what you miss out on. So let's take a look at the three people in the passage. The first person, he comes to Jesus as he's leaving a Samaritan village. After Jesus has been rejected by this village and leaves it, this guy runs after him and says, "Jesus, I'll follow you. I know the rest of them rejected you, and I know they don't want to follow you, but me, I'll follow you. Wherever you go, I'll be there." And we think, fantastic, this guy is stepping out in his faith. He's willing to leave behind his village and his friends. He's willing to follow Jesus unconditionally and of his own accord. Surely, surely this is the kind of follower that Jesus wants. But Jesus doesn't respond by saying, "Brilliant, you're in, go grab a name tag." He doesn't respond how we think he ought to. He responds by reminding this person just what the cost would be. He seems to try to put him off. He responds by saying, "You know, if you follow me, you'll miss out. Have you really considered what you're saying? Have you considered the cost and all of the things that you're actually going to miss out on? You see, you're going to miss out on comfort. You're going to miss out on your plans. And you're following me down a road that doesn't really lead to anywhere good. If you want to follow me," Jesus has already said to his disciples 35 verses earlier, "you must take up your cross, because that's where I'm going." I wonder how many of us are like this man in the passage. How many of us have offered our unconditional promises to follow Jesus and yet haven't counted the cost? How many of us have started the journey with a zealous promise, and yet when it comes to the point we actually have to pick up our cross, we stop? Or we slow down, or we start to complain that this isn't what I signed up for. Have you counted the cost? Have you understood that this journey would be difficult? Have you committed to being a disciple that would follow Jesus, knowing that you will miss out on things? Or is FOMO holding us back? See, what Jesus is saying to the man is that he doesn't want disciples with FOMO. He wants disciples that follow the whole way down the road. The second man, he's a bit different to the first, though, because he doesn't approach Jesus. Jesus approaches him. He invites him. And we don't know whether this man was walking down opposite the other side of the road. He doesn't really know what's going on. Or we don't know whether this man was with the first man. But we do know that Jesus gives him the invite that he gives to each of us today. "Follow me." And the dialogue that follows seems a bit surprising to us, because the man responds with what seems to be quite a noble answer. Fantastic, we think again, this guy responded to the invite. He's agreed to follow Jesus. Surely this is the kind of follower that Jesus wants. He's a religious family man. He's got his priorities straight. Surely this is the type of follower Jesus wants. And yet again, Jesus doesn't respond how we think he ought to. He responds with quite an unexpected and what seems a heartless response. Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. What he's saying to this man is that I don't want disciples with FOMO. I want disciples that will follow. Let me give you a bit of context as to what's going on here. You see, in the culture of the time, N.T. Wright tells us that men had an obligation to bury their fathers. And it was actually regarded at the time by many as the most holy and binding duty of a son. And so when the man says this, it's a noble reason to wait. But the problem is that burials at this time could have taken up to a year. And we aren't even sure if the father is dead yet. And so what this man's actually saying is, Jesus, I will follow you, but someday when the time is right, someday when I have everything in my life in order, I just have a few things to tie up first. The problem is, in a short while, it is going to be too late. Jesus will already be at the cost. So this is urgent. Come now. I wonder how many of us are like this man. How many of us are waiting for the right time to follow Jesus? Yeah, maybe we walk down the road with him a bit. Maybe we pray and we know a bit of the Bible, but we don't follow the whole way. How many of us are waiting until the time is right, until we have things sorted, until it fits into our schedule? How many of us know God, but we're not ready to follow him because it means we'll have to give up? What Jesus is saying to this man is that he doesn't want disciples with FOMO. He wants disciples that will follow the whole way down the road, follow right now. Folks, just like there was an urgency with this man, there's an urgency now. This man didn't know that Jesus wouldn't be there in a few weeks. And we don't know now what the next few weeks are going to look like for us. We can plan all we want, but we have no guarantee that we will ever see those plans fulfilled. Tomorrow isn't certain, and so what are we waiting for? Then we come to the third man. The third man, like the first, he comes to Jesus of his own accord. I wonder, had he seen the second man and thought, I'll impress Jesus. Jesus, I'll follow you. Not like this guy. I will follow you. And we think again, fantastic, another follower. He seems enthusiastic. Surely it's third time's a charm. But though he comes of his own accord, he comes with his own conditions. There's a but. He wants to do it on his own terms. He comes, but he still has a fear of missing out. So again, Jesus doesn't respond well. And actually, what he seems to say has very little to do with saying goodbye to his family. But what he is saying, again, is that he doesn't want disciples with FOMO. He wants disciples that follow. See, what Jesus is saying is he doesn't want disciples with divided loyalties. He doesn't want followers that will constantly be distracted with what they're missing out on, with what else is on offer around them, that will follow until something better comes along. Similar to the second man, we don't know where this man is from. We don't know whether going back home would mean a couple of hours or a couple of months. But we know that he values his family highly. And undoubtedly, by following Jesus, he would miss them. He'll miss out. He's got FOMO. He's got a fear of missing out. You see, the plough was intended to go in a straight line. To plough a field well, you needed to keep your eye on something in the distance. And when you started out, you didn't take your eye off what you'd started looking at. You didn't take your eye off it until you were finished. If you looked back, you would veer off your trajectory. If you even took a second to look back and admire your work, you would veer off the line that you had set out on. Pride literally came before the fall. Or maybe another way of thinking about it is Judah has recently started taking his first steps. He started trying to walk with our help. And so we bend down and we take his hands. And very slowly he takes a few clumsy steps forward with our guidance. But often as he's taken a few steps, he'll turn round to either Rachel or myself with a face all proud of himself, as if to say, "Look at me go." But as soon as he does that, he starts to circle around, and as one foot takes longer steps than the other, he clumsily falls. He slumps to the ground. As soon as he looks back, he's off course. As soon as we look back, often in pride, we find it hard to stay on course. Often if we look back and start thinking about all the things we've missed out on, our course changes. And so in the three stories, Jesus is responding by telling us that he doesn't want disciples with FOMO. He wants disciples that follow. Follow the whole way down the road, follow right now, and follow with nothing holding them back. I wonder, as we read this passage, are we disciples that are plagued with FOMO, or are we disciples that follow? I heard a Scottish pastor speak on this passage, and he reminded the congregation of the famous Rangers song that they sing. "Follow, follow, we will follow, Rangers. Everywhere, anywhere, we will follow on. Dundee, Hamilton, Aberdeen, and back again." This is all well and good, he said, to sing at Ibrox. But when it came to away matches, how many of those fans that sang the song initially were seen there? It's easy to sing in the good times, but when it came to travel costs, ticket costs, time costs, very few of them actually took the journey. Very few of them actually followed. The others, they had priorities. They had other plans. They had other things holding them back. But of course, the song was originally a hymn. "Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on." And I wonder how many of us would sing this like the Rangers fans sing their song. How many of us sing the words, but when it comes to actually following, we more resemble the characters in this story? Followers that aren't willing to follow any further than the point they have to pick up their cross. Who follow in the easy times, but they stop when it gets difficult. Stop when it begins to cost them something. Or followers who follow Jesus, but only when they've decided that the time is right. Or followers that have divided loyalties and that are just too scared of missing out. Followers with a but. And so why, if Jesus wants his disciples to follow and not have FOMO, and he also tells us that we'll miss out on things, then why would we follow? Why would we follow him down a difficult road that leads us to carrying a cross? Why would we follow when actually it's difficult and, unlike those around us, we will miss out on things? Because we find out that, as I said earlier, though we will miss out on things, what we will gain is so much more. As Jesus says in Mark 8:36, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul?" What we will one day gain will be far better than what we miss out on. Let me quickly share three things that we will gain when we follow Jesus. Three things highlighted to each person in the story. Firstly, to the man who is told, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Who's told that if he follows Jesus in this life, he will miss out on a home. He'll miss out on earthly comforts. If he followed Jesus just a bit further down the road, he would realize that he will gain something far greater. He would gain an eternal home. If this person followed Jesus down the road to Jerusalem, Jesus told his disciples just before he died in John 14, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may be with me where I am." Yes, you'll miss out on an earthly home and earthly comforts, but you will gain so much more. An eternal home and eternal rest. To the second man who is told to let the dead bury their own dead, who has offered the chance to follow Jesus but miss out on his duty as a son. If he followed Jesus down the road, he would realize that he would inherit eternal life. Yes, you'll miss out on these funeral preparations, but you will receive eternal life. Never again will you have to worry about a funeral. Jesus says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And finally, to the man who is told that following Jesus would mean that he would miss out on his relationships, his family, Jesus offers that what he would gain would be so much more. That the forgiveness of his sin through Jesus dying on the cross and raising to life again, he would gain an eternal relationship, a renewed relationship with God the Father. He would receive an eternal relationship with Jesus as part of his place in the church. He would be adopted as God's son into God's family, receiving God's inheritance. Folks, Jesus wants disciples that will follow, not disciples with FOMO. If we follow Jesus, yes, we will miss out. But what we will gain will be so much more. As Jim Elliot famously said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And so the challenge is, don't let your fear of missing out lead you to missing out. Follow the whole way down the road. Follow right now, and follow with nothing holding you back. Let's pray. King Jesus, you have loved us with an everlasting and unchangeable love. May we love you as we are loved. You have given yourself for us, and we pray that we can give ourselves back to you wholly and undivided. You have died for us, and so we pray that we can live for you. In every moment of our time, every movement of our mind, every pulse of our hearts, every step of our feet, and every word that we speak. May we never be distracted by the fear of missing out, by the world and all of its temptations. But may we walk with you by your side, listen to your voice, be clothed by your grace, and adorned with your righteousness. Amen. We're going to join together in praise now. Again, you'll find a YouTube link just below to a song called "Yet Not I." It might be a new song to some of you, but it's a song that encourages us in our journey as we follow Jesus. "With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day I know he will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne." Let's join together in praise as we sing "Yet Not I," and then afterwards Michael will lead us in a prayer for our young people and our leaders of youth ministry.
This morning we want once again to say thank you and to recognize all those who have served as volunteers in our youth and children's activities over the course of this session. Of course, this year our youth activities ended very suddenly and not in the way we would have hoped or expected. When we began this session back in September, none of us could have begun to have imagined the disruption that would follow the outbreak of the coronavirus and the lockdown, the disruption that that would cause to all our lives and especially to our church life. But I want to say a big thank you, because even in the midst of that, there have been those who have been involved in ongoing ministry among our children and young people through the use of digital resources for Beginners Church and Kids Church and Youth Church. Even before the adults caught on to it, our young people were already meeting for small groups using Zoom and other apps. And I want to say thank you to those who facilitated that. And to say thank you to Stephen and Rachel, especially in recent weeks, for the children's spot that they've been recording for our Sunday services. We don't know what the situation will be in September. Nobody does. That's in God's hands. And those are good hands for the future to be in. We're going to look to him to guide and direct us and to give us wisdom as the elders together with our youth leaders seek to make provisional plans for how we reopen our building and how we resume our worship and our ministries. We dearly hope that the autumn will bring a resumption of our youth ministry in a physical format, especially with the anticipated addition of a Girls Brigade Company for Railway Street. And I want to say thank you to those involved in seeking to make this vision a reality. I want to thank all those who have already offered themselves to serve in leadership. And I sense a great interest and excitement in this venture, both from within our congregation and outside in the wider community. And I believe that under God we'll see the establishment of a Christ-centered organization for girls to complement that which we already have for boys. And as we hope once again to see large numbers of young people coming through our doors each week in that new session, that also requires an ever larger team of volunteers. And in addition to our GB, our BB needs additional helpers. So let me ask you and challenge you this morning that if you're not already overly committed to other ministries within Railway Street, and if you have a heart to see the work of reaching and discipling young people go forward, then please get in contact with myself or Stephen or David Cleland, our BB captain, and offer your services. That will be very much appreciated. So once again, to all those who have been serving this year, we say thank you. We rejoice in every way through your service that children and young people have been enabled to be or to become devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. So we want to commit you to the Lord. We want to give thanks to God for your service and to look to him for the future. This morning, I'm not asking you to stand as I normally would, but let's unite our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Our Father, we praise you that we are a covenant people and that you are our God and the God of our children. We thank you for the knowledge of how precious our children are to you. And the knowledge that all your promises of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ are extended to our children as to their parents. Today we thank you once more for those who assist parents in seeking to pass on the Christian faith to our children and young people. Those who reach out in the name of Jesus Christ and seek to teach the truths of your word and to welcome children as the Lord Jesus welcomed little children. Today, once again, we thank you for our leaders' dedicated service. We thank you for how they have given of their time. We thank you for how they have used the talents and the gifts that you have given them in service among young people. And we thank you for how, despite and even in the midst of the disruption caused by the lockdown, how young people have seen and heard and experienced the love that you have for them in Christ Jesus. Thank you for every way in which they've been built up in their understanding of the gospel. We thank you for those who have been challenged to become disciples of Jesus Christ and those who have grown as disciples of Jesus Christ. Father, we look back and we give thanks. And as we look forward, we know that the future is only known to you. We do not know what the situation will be in September, but you do. And so we pray that you will give us wisdom and guide us as we seek to make plans to recommence our ministries. We pray for your blessing upon the exciting plans for a Girls Brigade Company. We believe that this is a vision that you have given. And we pray that as that news continues to spread, that many parents and girls will express an interest in that. We pray, Lord, that over the course of the summer, the number of coronavirus infections will continue to decrease, that the lockdown will continue to lift, that the restrictions that are on us as churches will be reduced. And we pray, Lord, that our leaders will have the opportunity for true relaxation and refreshment in the coming weeks, and that we will come back enthused and equipped for our service in the autumn. Lord, where we've need for further volunteers, we ask you to stir up and to call others to serve in this way. So may the work of building the church and the kingdom of God among our children and young people continue to prosper and to know your blessing. Hear our prayer, which we offer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to join together to praise God. We're going to join together to sing Mighty to Save.
Folks, thank you for joining with us this morning. As always, there are some questions below that you can reflect on this week as you think through the passage and what it means to you as a disciple of Jesus. But as we go, let me leave you with the verses in Jude 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.